So how are you all this morning? Have you recovered from your trauma of last Sunday? And they all looked astonished at that question. Have you forgotten already that you stepped into Jonah's shoes? Do you remember? Do you remember when the sailors got hold of you and threw you into the sea? And do you remember what happened? The great fish swallowed you and you were in the smelly belly for 3 days. And what were you doing? Praying. Do you remember all of that? Quite traumatic. It's actually an incredible chapter. And we're moving into yet another incredible chapter. The drama hasn't quite finished yet. We're just about there. The very last verse of chapter 2 says this. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Are you still in Jonah's shoes? Are you? So tell me what that was like. Can we sum up that verse? Yes, we can. That's it. So, any sense of the transformation? One moment you're in a place of darkness, a smelly belly of a big fish. The next minute you're catapulted where? Dry land. What's the contrast? Foul air, fresh air. Is that good news?
Yeah.
Yes. Darkness into light. Is that a picture of anybody else you can think of? It's Jesus. But we're going to tackle that next week. So now we have Jonah, who's actually been catapulted out of the fish, and he's landed on dry ground. So in one sense, hands in the air, praise the Lord, I'm alive and I'm on earth again. It's wonderful. And then, I've still got the mission to do. What's the mission? To go to Nineveh, to those terrible, wicked people, and call them to repentance. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, is just that chapter, which is a phenomenal chapter. Again, just stop for a moment about Jonah. Perhaps you're sitting in church this morning thinking, but I've really messed up so often. I've been discouraged and walked away from the Lord. In fact, been disobedient to Him. This message this morning says, come back to me. It does not matter how many times we fall down. He lifts us up. He dusts us off. He forgives us. And He puts us back on track again to do the work that He's calling us to do, which is to build His kingdom with Him. So He's a gracious God, forgiving, kind, merciful. And we'll see that come through over and over again in the book of Jonah. You remember the Lord spoke to Jonah not once, but twice. The beginning of chapter 1 and at the beginning of chapter 2. To remind him of his mission. So God talks to us over and over again. Because He's patient. And because His plans are perfect. And He's calling us to fulfill those plans. Because the end result is going to be fruitful to His glory, always. So let's look at this morning's chapter. Chapter 3, right in the beginning it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Those are really important words. In other words, God is not giving Jonah free license to go to Nineveh and say what he wants to. He's got a specific message for him. And that's the message he needs to deliver because there's power in the word of God. Where do we find that? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Now this is God speaking to the Israelites. The chosen nation. And he says this to them. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What can we all learn from that? See, this is what is so important, even in terms of this church and the way we're going forward. We need to be waiting upon Him and listening for His voice. We can all do our own thing, but where is the power? Where is the efficacy of words spoken? It's from the Lord. When we speak what He gives us to speak, in other words, we're in the flow of His Spirit, there is power. And we'll see what happens in a minute or two. An entire city is transformed. Think about that. That's why the video is so important, for us to see the scale of what God did. So here Jonah comes as a prophet to this big city with a very simple message. And that's all God's calling him to do. Jonah, say these words to the city. And let's see what happens. "40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned or destroyed," depending on which translation you look at. Can you imagine being in Jonah's shoes, walking to this big city? We're not sure where he stood or how he was heard, but imagine saying to these people, as a complete stranger, 40 days and your city's going to be destroyed. Wow. Did they hear that message? Yes, they did, because it says, the Ninevites believed God, they declared a fast, and here is key, all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. So this is serious. This is a city who's going, hang on guys, stop. God has spoken, and we need to respond. You see, that's what happens when God's word is proclaimed. It won't return empty. Why? Because He says so in His word. The greatest is the king. The king and the nobles issue this decree. Now listen to how widespread this decree is. "Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone urgently call on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from His fierce anger so that we will not perish." So who repented? Every one of them. That's what the word says. And I believe the Bible. All of them repented. They put on sackcloth. That is incredible. Now, we can look at that and call it 101 things. Some people may call it a revival. Others may call it a spiritual awakening. And I'm sure all of you in this room know that you've had the English revival, the Welsh revival. All throughout the world, there have been revivals where God has moved powerfully. And you know, often, it's not necessarily a proclamation like this. I know the Welsh revival, for example, started by a small group of people praying. That's how it started. Just a group of people praying. And then God added to those prayers. And suddenly there was this mass movement of the Spirit, a spiritual awakening throughout Wales. And God has done this over and over again. Why? Because He's all-powerful, and He's gracious. He doesn't give up quickly like we do. He pursues people in love. And His heart's desire is that not one person get lost. That's our God, our amazing God. So, with this whole city transformed and having laid their lives open before the Lord and repented, was he merciful? Was he merciful? When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. It's a simple story. God says, Jonah, go to that city, those wicked people. Tell them to repent. That's all. And the people repent. And God's merciful to them. He pours out his grace and favor. He does not destroy the city. So that little story impacts our lives. How? What does it tell us about our God, the very God that we are worshiping in the service this morning? We go back to chapter 2 and to chapter 1, and there's this theme that runs right through. God is sovereign. He is all-powerful and he is in control. Why is that important for us to hear that today? Because sometimes when I look at our world, a little bit of a question mark creeps in. Is he still in control? Because it doesn't seem like it. Even as I look at the American elections coming up, I don't even know how to respond to that. Lord, what's going on in this earth of ours? Ukraine, the Middle East, it's chaos. Where are you in all of this, Lord? What does he say to us this morning? What does my word say? What have I done over and over and over again? What have I done in the book of Jonah? So let's stop for a moment. Get back into the story. Is God in control?
Yes.
Right. Who orchestrated the storm at sea? Who created the storm? God. Right. And do you remember on the ship, they cast lots? And the lot pointed to Jonah. Who do you think organized that? God. Why? So that they would see he's the guilty party and throw him overboard. So God's in that. And then comes across the sea creature. Who organized that? God. And it swallowed Jonah. Who kept Jonah alive for 3 days in the belly of the big fish? God. He didn't decompose. And then here's another one. God shushed. It's one of the words we use in South Africa. Kind of guided the fish. Where to? Exactly to where it needed to be. And God commanded the fish to vomit him onto dry land. Now you may look at it and say, oh, that's a wonderful story. No, when you pull it apart, it's an incredible story. And it points to God being sovereign. See, that's the first point. God is sovereign. And we've seen that right through this book. What else? God is merciful. I think I mentioned this in the last message. He is not like us. Often we are quick to anger, slow to forgive, easily frustrated, and prone to hold grudges. He is merciful, patient, and forgiving. He performed all these miracles because he is a loving, gracious, and merciful God whose desire was to save the Ninevites. Even though they were wicked and evil, his heart was there for the people. He wanted them to be part of his own family. And remember from last week's message, why is he so forgiving and so merciful? Because he wants to lead people to repentance. That eventually, after doing the same things time and again, you may have heard it in Jackie's prayers, why do we keep coming back to the same sins? I don't know, Lord, but help me. But eventually, one day, the breakthrough will come. So we learn from our mistakes. And eventually, we come to that place before the Lord and we say, Lord, I am truly, truly sorry. I repent. And do you know what repent means? Turn away from. I'm no longer going to do those things, Lord God. I am now a new creation in Christ, and by your Spirit living in me, I can do these things. I can overcome them because you are God, and you love me, and you'll enable me to. That's what he's doing with the Ninevites. He's saying, although you've been wicked and cruel and terrible for all these years, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm going to tell you again. Repent. And they do. And he's merciful. That's a picture of our lives. That's our God. Incredible God. But he does want us to be transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus, so that we show the world his light and his love. And we are agents of hope. Our souls shouldn't be downcast. We should be joy-filled and optimistic because God's sovereign and God's merciful and he loves us. Final point this morning. God is faithful and trustworthy. God is faithful and trustworthy. Really? Does he keep his word? Well, let's dig a little deeper this morning and see if he does. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 to 8. Listen to these words very carefully. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. This is way before Jonah's story. Jeremiah talking to the Israelites. These are the words he said. If at any time. Here's one of the times. It's exactly what God said he would do. If they repent, I won't bring upon them calamity, because I'm a gracious and forgiving and merciful God. So let's finish off by asking this question. Is our God good? Having worked through the first three chapters of Jonah, what do we see time and time again? That our God's an amazing God. I certainly take comfort in the fact that he's sovereign. I don't have to be worried about the world and go, oh, what's next? He knows what's going on. He can see it all. And he will act and he'll move appropriately. And one day when Jesus comes again, God will do what needs to be done. Why? Because he's done it over and over and over, through the Old Testament into the New Testament. He's a God of miracles. And he's a God of love. So the message for us this morning is, cling to the Lord. Come close to him. He loves you, and he will come close to you. Never fear, but be confident, not in yourself or your abilities or mine, but confident in Christ, because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.